A thing that looks like a police box standing in a junkyard. It can move anywhere.
Haven, concentrate on Sin. Give priority to the detectors and the navigation systems.
There is a corridor. And the corridor is time. It surrounds all things.
On display, I eventually had to go down to the cellar.
That's the display department.
With a torch.
The lights probably gone.
So had the stairs.
Yours is number 6.
I am not a number. I am a person.
Welcome to British Invaders, episode 496. This is the podcast all about British science fiction television, and this time we are continuing our discussion about Susan Hill's The Small Hand, A Ghost Story. This is Brian from Canada.
And this is Eamon from England. Hello.
This is a 1 hour and 55 minute TV film from December 2019 with some seasonal chills. So we are doing this as our Christmas ghost story for December this year, and it is based on the best-selling author of The Woman in Black, that is Susan Hill.
It is indeed, and broadcast on Channel 5, which is unusual for us here on British Invaders. So, last time we talked a little bit about the setup of this story, and we are going to get into some very minor spoilers as we talk a little bit more about the story here, this old dark house and some watery bad dreams that are haunting our main character. Adam Snow has, for some reason, bought the rather dilapidated Raven's End house and the gardens that go with it, and he's trying to renovate it to make it into a suitable place for him to live in, but it's unclear why, Brian.
Yeah, it may be that he's trying to be closer to his brother who isn't well and the brother's pregnant wife, or so he can carry on an affair with Edward Merriman's wife, Alice. So those things aren't totally clear. He is also haunted by hearing this childlike laughter and seeing a remote control toy car driving down the corridors and the returning presence of the small hand. So things are continuing to be spooky and mysterious. He gets these ghostly visions that are getting worse when he realizes he is seeing the previous owner of the house as well as her child.
Indeed. Things are starting to reveal themselves to Adam, and we're beginning to get an idea of what's going on. And of course, things get even more severe. We get more action with a terrible accident in the house. And this leads to even more of a crisis for Adam. He takes some spiritual guidance from a figure who's a friend of his brother's, and also rather mysterious character called Brother Thierry, who I think is the sort of remnant of the French monks in the novel version. Brother Thierry, perhaps you won't be too surprised to hear this, tells Adam it's not the house that's haunted, it's you. Concept that we sometimes come across in ghost stories, and it's not necessarily a haunted house story.
Yes, that's right.
And of course, to get to the end of this story, we're going to find some hard truths both for Adam and for his brother Hugo, based on their pasts. And we can't really go any further than that without giving away the whole game. But just suffice it to say that things are building up to a dark revelation and a dark ending, I'm afraid.
That's right. But let's talk about other things with ghost stories, as we like to. Ghost stories for Christmas are a tradition that we keep coming back to. It dates back at least to Charles Dickens and M.R. James, both writing in the 19th century. But we also have some icons of British TV and film, like Nigel Neal, Jonathan Miller, Lawrence Gordon Clark, Rosemary Hill, and now Susan Hill, being involved in these. The BBC in particular have returned to their successful series of TV plays plays every year or two, recently mostly due to the efforts of Mark Gatiss, who has been doing a lot of work producing those.
Yes, and if you follow us on social media, particularly if you're in our Facebook group, you'll know that we always get quite excited at this time of year because of the possibility of another BBC A Ghost Story for Christmas. And this year we have Mark Gatiss adapting an E.F. Benson ghost story. I think that's the first time that we've had a Benson ghost story. And we know it's going to star Joanna Lumley and Tobias Menzies. Mark Gatiss always manages to get great people to appear in these shows. So we're really looking forward to that. And of course, we do talk about what makes these successful. Particularly, I was thinking about this, Brian, they're none of them particularly happy stories in a way. It's usually somebody investigating the past, usually a man. And there's often a dark and vengeful ghost involved. Does seem to be, there's a fair amount of unhappiness in the ghost stories for Christmas.
Yes, there is. And with this sort of M.R. James tradition, it's often not because they did something wrong, but it just happens to afflict this person. It's for no particular cause that these things happen in some cases.
Yeah, strange. Sometimes when you investigate the past, you're going to find out unpleasant things, I guess.
That's right. And it is mostly on the BBC when we see these, although we have talked about some things on ITV with their series Haunted in 1974. Also the ITV adaptation of Casting the Rones. So there have been some on ITV, but it's generally been a BBC thing.
Yes, and that's a good shout about Casting the Runes, which also had a very sort of wintry look and feel to it, as I remember. Yeah, interesting.
And here we're on Channel 5, which, as we've mentioned, we don't usually cover, but it gives us a different option there as well. If there are other Christmas ghost stories or other things that we should be grouping in with that, please let us know. Please get in touch if there are other things we should cover in our ghost story for Christmas type time slot in December.
Yes, please do. Particularly if there are other efforts on other channels that we don't know about or aren't aware of, please get dropped by the socials and let us know. We'd love to talk about more ghost stories around about the Christmas time.
Absolutely.
So it's time for our own views about good ghosts and bad ghosts, what we thought about Susan Hill's The Small Hand, a ghost story, to give it its full, slightly wordy title. Brian, how would you like to start us off in the positive columns? What did you like about this show?
I liked its sense of atmosphere. It gave us a nice spooky feeling and a feeling of being in an old place, you know, being in an old house. I thought that sort of atmospheric sense to it was quite good. I thought it was well done.
Yeah, the atmosphere is great. I think Bannockburn House, which stands in for Raven's End, it looks fantastic, both from the outside and the inside. I gather you can, as I said last episode, it's in community ownership, so you can go and visit it and even hire it for events, although that looks a little bit spooky to me for a big family gathering. But it's certainly, in terms of production values, the look and the sound of this show and the atmosphere it generates, that's extremely well done. We've got a pretty impressive cast here. What did you make of the actors in this show?
I found they were doing a decent job. It worked well enough, but there were no performances that were sort of moving it up to the next level. It was good, but not something that was really grabbing me.
What did you make about having Adrian Rawlins as a connection back to the 1989 The Woman in Black on TV?
You know, it didn't occur to me until afterwards, but yeah, it's a lovely connection to have. That's fun.
Yeah. He played, of course, the protagonist in that Nigel Neal version of The Woman in Black. Yeah, that was great. So there was that nice little connection. And yeah, for the most part, everybody everybody is doing pretty good work, although nothing, as you say, stands out. There's the music of the show, and I wanted in particular to mention there's a Scottish folk song that appears as a sort of recurring theme. We've spoken a few times, Brian, about nursery rhymes or folk songs. They make good accompaniments to a spooky story, and you spotted what this Scottish folk song was because you've actually performed it in a choir, I believe.
Yeah, I have. This was The Parting Glass, which is in the repertoire. It shows up occasionally, but yeah, it was nice to hear it here.
It's a beautiful piece of music. You know, go and have a listen to a version of The Parting Glass, or I can recommend the BBC podcast Soul Music and their episode about The Parting Glass as a piece of music is quite fascinating as well.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah, I love the inclusion of that in this show. What about the writing, the adaptation for the screen?
So before we get to the writing part, I will just mention the actual ghost when you see the hand and you see the child, and especially the laughter. I thought that was done quite well and was spooky.
Yes, the laughter is spooky. I'm less sure about how well a small invisible hand works on television. It works quite well in a book, but on television, it's a little bit hard to sell. The spooky childish laughter, that's great. That's really atmospheric and haunting. Quite why they ignore the remote control car whizzing down the corridors and don't sort of investigate that any further is a little bit of a mystery in this show, Brian.
Yes, well, maybe that brings us back to the writing.
Yes. And I guess we're going to start drifting into things that we were less keen on about this ghost story, Brian.
Yes. The writing did not grab me, and this may be related to how it was adapted, but it did not make it a very compelling show and didn't bring us along through with it well enough, I think.
Yeah, I mean, there's the terrible accident that happens in the middle of the story, but apart from that, it's not a lot going on. There's not a lot happening. It's more about mood and atmosphere. There is, as I say, the difficulty of conveying a small hand holding Adam Snow's hand on TV. And so eventually they have to actually show us the child ghost, at which point the scariness sort of goes away because we can see the ghost. I don't know. But anyway, yeah, it's slightly slow over its 2 hours running time with not an awful lot happening, Brian.
Yeah, it makes it a little bit dull, which is unfortunate.
Yeah. Like I say, I think it probably worked better on the printed page when I read the novel version. We talked about actors and how nice it is to have Adrian Rawlins as a sort of callback to a wonderful TV show from 1989. Douglas Henshall is our lead here. We're second sort of show in a row we've been talking about Douglas Henshall. I'm going to give it away, Brian, because before I ask you what you thought of him, I find him a bit bland and dull, unfortunately.
Yeah, I think in this one that was an issue. He didn't give us a character that kept our interest in the way we would need if that was going to be what would pull us through this.
Yeah, I found it difficult to actually like the character or to be engaged. He was perhaps slightly more dynamic in Primeval. He, of course, is the star of a long-running, very successful police procedural called Shetland over here, although he's now left the cast of that and been replaced by two female detectives who actually I find much more engaging than Douglas Henshall. I'm not a huge fan, I'm afraid, Brian.
Yeah, so I think it's pretty clear that this was an issue for both of us, that there just wasn't enough happening in this to keep us interested. And something I noticed was that the majority of the Christmas ghost stories we've covered are based on short stories, and they are shorter television productions. You know, they're not things that are close to 2 hours. They're usually less than 1 hour. And the rare cases where they were longer, the formatting was sometimes a little bit different. We did Crooked House, which was a longer ghost story, but it's more of an anthology broken up into separate stories with a connecting line in between them. But this and also The Woman in Black, the two Susan Hill ones, are these longer television productions that are based on novels rather than short stories. And I felt for The Woman in Black, that really worked. It worked as a longer form one. For this, I don't think it does.
No, I think you're right. I think The Woman in Black works because there's a lot more happening and it's so scary. This one, not a lot happens. It's not particularly scary. It's just more sad than scary, I found. You're right, Brian. It is interesting how most of the ghost stories for Christmas that we've watched, the majority of them are well under the hour. They're sort of usually 30 or 40 minutes, if that. And that's perfect for Christmas. This is a bit long and a bit dull, I'm afraid.
Yeah, obviously there are other longer form ghost stories, and we've talked about The Christmas Carol and so on. But for the style of ghost story that we tend to see for these Christmas ones, and that we see, I think, with both of the Susan Hill ones, it's long to do something longer like that. And in this case, I don't think it works very well.
Okay, agreed. Anything else in your notes you wanted to mention before we head to a slightly predictable recommendation section, Brian?
Let's move on to the recommendations.
Shall I kick us off this time?
Please do.
Okay, I think people can work this one out. It's free over here in the UK on the Channel 5 app, but I still wouldn't add it to your Christmas viewing. There's far better ghost stories to find. Hopefully, this year's offering from Mark Gatiss and co. will be the one. But no, I'm not going to recommend the rather long titled The Small Hand. I think the book's better, actually, Brian. I think it works better in the book. What about yourself? If we go across the pond, what's your feelings on this one?
I will also not recommend this one. Yeah, it didn't hold my interest. And as you say, there are lots of other ghost stories that we've covered, both new and old. And there are other choices to make that would be better. So I will not recommend The Small Hand.
Okay, but if you've watched it and if you disagree with our take, please do get in touch. Drop by the socials and let us know.
So, in summary, The Small Hand introduces us to a seller of antiquarian books who is setting up a sale for this particular book and is accidentally rooted to this house where he hears this strange childlike laughter and feels the touch of a small hand, the hand of a child. And we move on through things where we encounter his brother and a couple of friends. He ends up buying this old derelict house or estate, and the intensity of the hauntings continue and bring us towards an intense conclusion.
So, please come back and join us next time. We've mentioned police procedurals a couple of times in this episode. Susan Hill, of course, has written police procedurals of her own. We are starting the new year with a look at a police show, but it's one with a difference that we'll get to next time. We are going to be talking about River on the BBC in 2015. And I put in our notes quite an impressive cast to talk about. I've actually rewatched the first couple of episodes, and I'd say an astonishingly impressive cast to talk about next time, Brian.
It really does have an impressive cast, for sure. And it has an interesting twist to it that brings it into our area of things. So that will be a good one to talk about.
Some fun to get to next time.
Yes. Until then, you can find all of our episodes at BritishInvaders.com. And if you search for British Invaders on Facebook, you can find our group there. And you can also follow us on Threads and Instagram. We are at British_Invaders_podcast on both of those platforms.
Yes, please say hello on Threads or Instagram or on the Facebook group and let us know what you thought about Susan Hill's The Small Hand and about what you think about our next show for 2026. Please get in touch. And of course, please come and join us as part of the Voice of Geeks Network at vognetwork.com. There's other podcasts, there's gaming, there's Twitch streaming, there's all sorts of stuff happening at the Voice of Geeks, voguenetwork.com.
Absolutely. So thank you for listening, and this is Brian from Canada, signing off.
Yes, thank you very much. Until next time, it's Happy Christmas from Eamon in England, and I hope you find a good ghost story to enjoy.